when a people do not have the ability to cry out when they're under duress, when they're being abused, when they're being killed or whatever, when they cannot cry out anymore, and that means zero free speech, when the scapegoat becomes silent, that's when the serious killing begins.
Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman, for The New American Magazine, and we have a returning guest, a very special guest with us today, Patrick Wood. His bio is so long that we could spend our whole 20 minutes talking about it, but I'll give you some of the highlights. It's an extraordinary man, and he's been in the fight for quite a while. In fact, he really got his start, I think, working with one of my personal heroes, Anthony Sutton, the great historian. I very regularly call him one of America's greatest historians, certainly one of the greatest historians of the 20th century. And Pat wrote the book Trilaterals Over Washington with Anthony. Anthony also wrote Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, the two books on the Order of Skull and Bones, just incredible stuff. Pat is also doing extraordinary things at this moment. He's the founder and chief of Citizens for Free Speech, a wonderful organization dedicated to fighting for and preserving free speech. And he is a national speaker. He goes all around the country. You've probably seen him on all kinds of TV shows and things. Probably the leading expert on the planet on the subject of technocracy. Today we brought him on primarily to talk about the Constitutional Convention. Pat, thank you for joining us. And let's start with the Con. Obviously technocracy is not compatible with the U.S. Constitution. And now we see an effort to change our Constitution with a Constitutional Convention. What are your thoughts?
Yes. Well, number one, there's a rumor floating around somehow that I was pro-Constitutional Convention. I don't know who did that because I've been writing for 45 years forcefully against it. I've never in my life said anything about in a positive way about Constitutional Convention. And, what it is what it is, but somebody's out there to muddy the waters and stuff and claim that I had something to do with, pro-constitutional convention.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. That's how I first came across. Somebody sent me an email saying, Pat Wood is in favor of a con. I said, no way. Let me ask. And no, it turns out it was false. But so why are you opposed to a con, Pat?
Well, I'll tell you what, back in the 70s when I was writing with Sutton, that's the first time we came across it. And, when I did, I'll read you the text that we pulled out of Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. And we read this, that he was in favor of a constitutional convention. And our initial reaction was like over our dead bodies. and Henry Kissinger weighed in at the same time. I don't have the quote from him, but he was right smack dab in the middle of it too, calling for a constitutional convention. This is what Brzezinski wrote, and this is a direct quote from his book. This is not me. It's not my speculation. He wrote, "The approaching 200th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence could justify the call for a national constitutional convention to reexamine the nation's formal institutional framework, either 1976 or 1989, the 200th anniversary of the Constitution, could serve as a suitable target date for culminating a national dialogue on the relevance of existing arrangements." And I'll tell you what, that was all I needed to know, and that's all I've needed to know ever since. Brzezinski and Kissinger alongside were the two people who first called for a constitutional convention in this country. They were both, in my opinion, enemies of the state in every way. And it's really strange to me today that nobody cares about that anymore. And now it seems to be the conservative world is backing this whole business of convention of states and constitutional convention. Doesn't make any sense to me. I wish people would just listen, because if they knew the source of it originally, they would run in the other direction right away.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Pat, why do you think Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski, for those who don't know Zbigniew Brzezinski, I think most of our viewers and most of our listeners probably do, but he was the national security advisor to Jimmy Carter. He wrote that book that Pat mentioned, and that's actually what inspired David Rockefeller to start up the Trilateral Commission and make Brzezinski one of the leading luminaries there. But, these people were not what we would call constitutionalists. They weren't in favor of individual liberty as we understand it. Why do you think they wanted a constitutional convention back then, Pat?
Well, I'm going to speculate just a little bit. I know more about, for instance, technocracy today than I ever knew before. Really didn't have any vision of it back then. But during the days when technocracy was created at Columbia University and shortly thereafter, as a replacement economic system for capitalism and free enterprise, the technocrats were very, well, let me put it this way. They wanted to remove the layer of society that had to do with politics, do away with it altogether. They wanted to send Congress home, Senate and the Congress home, and simply just appoint basically a board of directors or create an org chart where people would just be appointed to run the country, all of the economic system from top to bottom. There's been this antipathy ever since with political systems and what these technocrats want to do. Now, both Kissinger and Brzezinski especially were technocrats. Brzezinski, especially his book, Technotronic Era, he was at Columbia University when he wrote the book. And the word technotronic, in my opinion, is a knockoff for the word technocratic. And he had a natural antipathy towards government in general. And I think that was reflected in a constitutional convention. Hey, let's just get rid of it. It's not relevant anymore. We don't need it. Let's restructure the whole thing according to whatever we think would be right for the world today. And this is patently insane. If anybody understood the real motive behind this, again, like I said, they would run the other way as fast as they could.
Yeah. And it does seem like we're seeing more and more boldness among this whole category of people. Parag Khanna, of course, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. I know you've covered him extensively. And he has also advocated for a radical restructuring of our country. He proposed abolishing our state governments altogether and just moving to, national and then regional governance, where we'd have these mega cities and just completely abolish our state legislatures, our state governments altogether. Pat, they did originally try with liberals to get this agenda through, and they realized that liberals didn't have enough political power to move this. And so they have now, I think, officially switched over to trying to get conservatives to bite in. But, the left is still working on this, too. We know there are multiple left-wing organizations, some of them funded by George Soros, that are calling for a constitutional convention. You've got Wolfpack, you've got these Young Turks, you've got several of these prominent groups. And George Soros very famously said about a decade ago, Communist China has a better functioning government than the United States. And we've heard this refrain, Justin Trudeau has indicated that the government he admires most is the Communist Chinese one. Do you think if they were able to flush our constitution down the toilet, they would move us more toward a freer model with more liberty or more in the direction of the Chinese system?
It's kind of strange. The Chinese system still looks like they have a very sophisticated government structure in place. They really don't. The CCP, which supposedly has what 200 or 300 people in it, that always sits behind Chairman Xi when he's talking, they have relatively little power. The dictatorship that exists there is pretty much a top-down control by engineers and scientists, and most of the people in charge of the country now are engineering. Not only socially engineering the country, but also, engineering the structure and how it operates and how the distribution of goods takes place. They pretty much already removed the layer of government that I was talking about before, the antipathy that exists between between government and these technocrats. If they could get rid of it altogether, they would. But, China is probably the purest example today of a full-blown technocracy, or let's say a technocracy in full bloom. And they're running it from the top down. It's crazy, but they're running it from the top down. And decisions are not ever contested. If you step across the narrative, you could disappear in a heartbeat.
Yep. And they also have this extraordinary social credit score system where everybody gets a credit number. And if you ask too many questions or you know people who ask too many questions, you find yourself on that list where you can't get a good job, you can't get a passport, you can't get on a train. And if it gets really bad, you end up in a labor camp. Truly incredible. Pat, when we get back on the other side of this break, I want to ask you about how we do fit, because the people promoting a constitutional convention do bring up some real legitimate concerns about, the Supreme Court doing whatever it wants and all these things. So we'll talk about some possible ways to deal with those. And also, you have proposed regularly people getting involved at the local level to resist this. So we'll talk a little bit about that and also free speech. But for now, Pat, before we go to break, what's the best website for people to find you?
Technocracy.news is where I have all my professional information on technocracy is full of, gosh, we have well over 5,000 articles now indexed, categorized and stuff for over a period of several years. It's a researcher's goldmine, but there's a ton of stuff there. I publish new articles every day.
Yeah, it is an extraordinary resource. I use it a lot in my own research. That's technocracy.news, folks. Go check it out. With us, we have Patrick Wood. He is the editor of technocracy.news. He's the founder and chief of Citizens for Free Speech. He's also the author of numerous books, some of which I've reviewed in The New American. There are very few people who have as great of an understanding about the ideology of the elites, the move that they are making right now, and how that all fits in. So, Pat, thank you for staying with us. I want to talk about some of the problems that the promoters of the con bring up, because they talk about the courts are out of control, the administrative agencies are out of control. Are those legitimate problems, and do we need a constitutional convention to deal with them?
No, we don't. I personally believe there's nothing wrong with the Constitution per se, just as a pure document. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Now, there's a lot wrong with the morality of our nation, for instance, that where the original founders said that the Constitution was made for a moral people. Well, we've lost a lot of stuff in that area, so that's a problem. Maybe we should have a national convention on a return to morality. Wouldn't that be novel? It would be amazing. But I'll tell you what the interesting thing to me is. Back in under Bill Clinton, one of Bill Clinton's primary advisors, in fact, the architect of everything green, all the climate policies in America were really generated from this one man. His name was John Podesta. John Podesta was a member of the Trilateral Commission. He was arguing in favor of technocracy the whole time. Everything he did with this green. Change everything, get rid of all the old, get new, bring in the new. This was John Podesta. He was a mover and shaker during the Clinton administration. It was John Podesta. People can go check this out for themselves. It was John Podesta who invented for Clinton the policy of ruling by executive order. And this was him. He said, you rule with a pen and a phone and you create these executive orders to circumvent the Constitution. Now, right there is kind of a mini version of a constitutional convention, because they basically just threw it out and said, well, we can just write up an executive order and it's just as good as anything else. And, you know, what can Congress do? They can't even overwrite it. Apparently they haven't either. But fast forward to today, every president since then has had this mentality of ruling by executive order. So, well, every one of them is create all kinds of EOs that are patently, in my opinion, patently unconstitutional. We need to return our country to the original roots of the Constitution. Get rid of all the fluff, get rid of all the bastardizations that these people have come up with over the time to degrade it, and let it be what it is. Turn it back to the people. Let the people decide. You know, Adam Smith talked about the invisible hand in the economic system. It is amazing, and it is an invisible hand in that sense. It's like, how do things work when you got millions of people operating in an economic system and somehow everything works? It just gets market supply and demand and products being made and products being, falling off the market. Well, the invisible hand and government, whatever, was moderated by our Constitution originally. Not only the political side, but also the economic side as well. It works just fine. It has worked just fine over a period of 200 plus years. And getting back to that is not the way to get back to it is not to call for another constitutional convention, because we'd end up with somebody like Parag Khanna coming in or as an advisor or whatever coming in and say, this is how we need to create technocracy. He called it a direct technocracy, by the way, in his 2005 book, Technocracy in America. He said, America is broken. Democracy is broken. Constitution is broken. And what we need is a direct technocracy. This is what these people want. This is what the globalists want. We would end up looking like China in a country minute if these people ever got their handle on the constitutional structure of America. We would be radically different the day after.
Yep. And I think that is their objective. Certainly not the grassroots conservatives who've been duped into following this, or the people who've been given large sums of money by the Convention of States. And we've got a lot of evidence of that. We've got it from their 990s. They're paying huge amounts of money to these prominent conservatives to sign on to this. Pat, we've only got about 5 minutes left. And one of the areas that you have specialized in, and I think this is just so critical, is how do we resist this? And so you've narrowed in, I think, on two critical things, and that is local action and also free speech. In fact, you've made free speech almost a centerpiece of your incredible efforts. Talk to us about local action and free speech. Why are these so critical to stopping the slide into technocratic governance and away from our free system?
Well, there has been a massive attack on the First Amendment in the last few years, especially since COVID started. Every element of the First Amendment, from religion to addressing the government for grievances, free speech, of course, has been a train wreck. So has freedom of the press, so is the right to assemble. We need to stop this. And this has been a coordinated attack on the First Amendment. The reason it's so important is, I'm speaking historically now, and everything that I've read, I so appreciate Anthony Sutton's original transfer of technology series that he did at Stanford, because it just underscores what I'm about to say. when a people do not have the ability to cry out when they're under duress, when they're being abused, when they're being killed or whatever, when they cannot cry out anymore, and that means zero free speech, when the scapegoat becomes silent, that's when the serious killing begins. This has happened in every revolution. They always drag out the media people first and shoot them in the streets. It's not happening here, but effectively that's what's happened. Our side of the media has just been completely silenced. So free speech is existential in my mind. If we do not resuscitate it, revive it, and teach people how to practice it in their own communities, we're done. Because when the time comes to say, help, help, I'm being mugged, I'm being killed, or whatever, politically or economically speaking, that will be the day when the killing begins. And we cannot assume any benevolent intentions by any of these globalists that they would not kill us all if they had the chance. I'm not saying they would kill us all, but you get my point. They have no compunction, apparently, about seeing a whole people group disappear right under their noses, and they say nothing about it. That's because that people had no ability to speak out. That's why I'm so excited about free speech right now, and why we need to keep free speech around and really, really work at it to make it work in our local communities especially.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure it's a bad assumption to assume that these globalists have evil intentions. I mean, when I read David Rockefeller's column on China in the New York Times in 1973, where he says this social experiment is one of the most successful in all of human history, they wiped out maybe 50 million people. I don't know what kind of psychopath could think that's a success. And yet he went on to create the very Trilateral Commission that we are talking about, that is still to this day promoting this technocratic ideology. Pat, local action. You have been just sounding the alarm about, stop focusing so much on the national and the international. Worry about what's happening in your town, in your county, in your state. We've got less than 2 minutes left. Tell us, why is that so critical? And what's a logical entry point for somebody that does want to get started on beating this back?
It's so easy to get into your local civic government and be a part of it, get a seat at the table somehow. Our director of training, Mary Baker, is very, very succinctly says, if you don't have a seat at the table, you are certainly what's for dinner. And it's so easy to get involved. You don't have to even say anything to go to a meeting. It's public stuff. You just go in, walk in and say, hey, I want to just see what's going on and meet some people and listen to them and find out what's going on. Get your opinion inserted. We train people on how to be effective communicators in a local civic arena. And we believe that training is so important, especially when everything has just been discombobulated in the last couple of years. An untrained army is only useful to the enemy. And at this point in our history, we desperately need to have the training to get our side into the fight in a correct and civil way.
Absolutely. Pat, what are the best websites to find you? Citizens for Free Speech, we already did technocracy.news and some of the key books.
Right. Citizensforfreespeech.org works just fine. And if you want to text a code, you can text the letters CFFS to 313131 and get a link on your phone or tablet immediately to join.
Excellent. And then technocracy.news is where you put all the latest updates on technocracy. I'm, of course, on the advisory board of Citizens for Free Speech. Pat, thank you so much for all the great work that you are doing and have done and continue to do. Hopefully we'll get you back very soon. And thank you for clarifying, by the way, that you are not in favor of a constitutional convention. We really appreciate you, Pat.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All righty, folks, that's it for today. Thank you very much. Go to thenewamerican.com, sign up. Until next time, God bless you all.